And in another festal epistle, written later to Hierax, 3, a bishop in Egypt, he mentions the sedition then prevailing in Alexandria, as follows. What wonder is it, that it is difficult for me to communicate by letters with those who live far away, when it is beyond my power even to reason with myself, or to take counsel for my own life? 3. Truly I need to send letters to those who are as my own bowels, 4, dwelling in one home, and brethren of one soul, and citizens of the same church, but how to send them I cannot tell, for it would be easier for one to go, not only beyond the limits of the province, but even from the east to the west, than from Alexandria to Alexandria itself. 4. For the very heart of the city is more intricate and impassable than that great and trackless desert which Israel traversed for 2 generations. And our smooth and waveless harbors have become like the sea, divided and walled up, through which Israel drove, and in whose highway the Egyptians were overwhelmed. For often from the slaughters there committed they appear like the Red Sea. 5. And the river which flows by the city has sometimes seemed drier than the waterless desert, and more parched than that in which Israel, as they passed through it, so suffered for thirst, that they cried out against Moses, and the water flowed for them from the steep rock. 5. Through him who alone doeth wonders. 6. Again it has overflowed so greatly as to flood all the surrounding country, and the roads and the fields, threatening to bring back the deluge of water that occurred in the days of Noah. And it flows along, polluted always with blood and slaughter and drownings, as it became for Pharaoh through the agency of Moses, when he changed it into blood, and it stank. 6. 7. And what other water could purify the water which purifies everything? How could the ocean, so great and impassable for men, if poured into it, cleanse this bitter sea? Or how could the great river which flowed out of Eden, if it poured the foreheads into which it is divided into the one of Gion, 7, wash away this pollution? 8. Or when can the air poisoned by these noxious exhalations become pure? For such vapors arise from the earth, and winds from the sea, and breezes from the river, and mists from the harbors, that the dews are, as it were, discharges from dead bodies putrefying in all the elements around us. 9. Yet men wonder, and cannot understand, whence these continuous pestilences, whence these severe sicknesses, whence these deadly diseases of all kinds, whence this various and vast human destruction, why this great city no longer contains as many inhabitants, from tender infants to those most advanced in life, as it formerly contained of those whom it called hardy old men. But the men from 40 to 70 years of age were then so much more numerous, that their number cannot now be filled out, even when those from 14 to 80 years are enrolled and registered for the public allowance of food. 10. And the youngest in appearance have become, as it were, of equal age with those who formerly were the oldest. But though they see the race of men thus constantly diminishing and wasting away, and though their complete destruction is increasing and advancing, they do not tremble. Chapter 10.6 I. The pestilence which came upon them. 1. After these events a pestilential disease followed the war, and at the approach of the feast he wrote again to the brethren, describing the sufferings consequent upon this calamity. 1. 2. To other men too, the present might not seem to be a suitable time for a festival, nor indeed is this, or any other time suitable for them, neither sorrowful times, nor even such as might be thought especially cheerful. 3. Now, indeed, everything is tears, and everyone is mourning, and wailings resound daily through the city, because of the multitude of the dead and dying. 3. For as it was written of the firstborn of the Egyptians, so now there has arisen a great cry, for there is not a house where there is not one dead. 4. And would that this were all. 5. 4. For many terrible things have happened already. First, they drove us out and went alone, and persecuted, and put to death by all. Even then we kept the feast, and every place of affliction was to us a place of festival. Field, desert, ship, in prison, but the perfected martyrs kept the most joyous festival of all, feasting in heaven. 5. After these things war and famine followed, which we endured in common with the heathen. But we bore alone those things with which they afflicted us, and at the same time we experienced also the effects of what they inflicted upon, and suffered from one another. And again, we rejoiced in the peace of Christ, which he gave to us alone. 6. But after both we and they had enjoyed a very brief season of rest, this pestilence assailed us to them more dreadful than any dread, and more intolerable than any other calamity, and, as one of their own writers has said, the only thing which prevails over all's hope. But to us this was not so, but no less than the other things was it an exercise and probation, for it did not keep aloof even from us, but the heathen it assailed more severely. Farther on he adds. 7. The most of our brethren were unsparing in their exceeding love and brotherly kindness. They held fast to each other, and visited the sick fearlessly, and ministered to them continually, serving them in Christ. And they died with them most joyfully, taking the affliction of others, and robbing the sickness from their neighbors to themselves, and willingly receiving their pains. And many who cared for the sick, and gave strength to others, died themselves having transferred to themselves their death. And the popular saying, which always seems a mere expression of courtesy, they then made real in action, taking their departure as the others of scoring 6. 8. Truly the best of our brethren departed from life in this manner, including some presbyters and deacons and those of the people who had the highest reputation, so that this form of death, through the great piety and strong faith it exhibited, seemed to lack nothing of martyrdom. 9. And they took the bodies of the saints in their open hands, and in their bosoms, and closed their eyes and their mouths, and they bore them away on their shoulders, and laid them out, and they clung to them, and embraced them, and they prepared them suitably with washings and garments. And after a little they received like treatment themselves, for the survivors were continually following those who had gone before them. 10. But with the heathen everything was quite otherwise. They deserted those who began to be sick, and fled from their dearest friends. And they cast them out into the streets, when they were half dead, and left the dead like refuse, unburied. They shunned any participation or fellowship with death, which yet, with all their precautions, it was not easy for them to escape. 11. After this epistle, when peace had been restored to the city, he wrote another festal letter 7, to the brethren in Egypt, and again several others besides this. And there is also a certain one extant on the Sabbath, 8, and another on exercise 12. Moreover, he wrote again an epistle to Hermammon 9, and the brethren in Egypt, describing at length the wickedness of Decius and his successors, and mentioning the peace under Gallienus. Chapter 23 The Reign of Gallienus. 1. But there is nothing like hearing his own words, which are as follows. Then he, 1, having betrayed one of the emperors that preceded him, and made war on the other, 2, perished with his whole family speedily and utterly. But Gallienus was proclaimed, and universally acknowledged at once an old emperor and a new, being before them, and continuing after them. 2. For according to the word spoken by the prophet Isaiah, behold the things from the beginning, have come to pass, and new things shall now arise. 3. For as a cloud passing over the sun's rays, and obscuring them for a little time hides it, and appears in its place, but when the cloud is passed by or is dissipated, the sun which had risen before appears again. So Macrinus, who put himself forward, and approached the existing empire of Gallienus, is not, since he never was, but the other is, just as he was. 3. And his kingdom, as if it had cast aside old age, and had been purified from the former wickedness, now blossoms out more vigorously, and is seen and heard farther, and extends in all directions. 4. He then indicates the time at which he wrote this in the following words. It occurs to me again, to review the days of the imperial years. For I perceive, that those most impious men, though they have been famous, yet in a short time have become nameless. But the holier and more godly prince, 5, having passed the 7th year, is now completing the 9th, 6, in which we shall keep the feast. Chapter 10.6 IV Nepos and his schism. 1. Besides all these, the two books on the promises too, were prepared by him. The occasion of these was Nepos, a bishop in Egypt, who taught that the promises to the holy men in the divine scriptures, should be understood in a more Jewish manner, and that there would be a certain millennium of bodily luxury upon this earth. 2. As he thought, that he could establish his private opinion by the revelation of John, he wrote a book on this subject, entitled Refutation of Allegorists. 3. Dionysius opposes this in his books on the promises. In the first he gives his own opinion of the dogma, and in the second he treats of the revelation of John, and mentioning Nepos at the beginning, writes of him in this manner. 4. But since they bring forward a certain work of Nepos, on which they rely confidently, as if it proved beyond dispute, that there will be a reign of Christ upon earth, I confess that 4. In many other respects I approve and love Nepos, for his faith and industry and diligence in the scriptures, and for his extensive summity, 5, with which many of the brethren are still delighted, and I hold him in the more reverence because he has gone to rest before us, but that truth should be loved and honored most of all. And while we should praise, and approve ungrudgingly what is set aright, we ought to examine, and correct what does not seem to have been written soundly. 5. Where he present to state his opinion orally, mere unwritten discussion, persuading and reconciling those who are opposed by question and answer, would be sufficient. But as some think his work very plausible, and as certain teachers regard the law and prophets as of no consequence, and do not follow the Gospels, and treat lightly the apostolic epistles, while they make promises 6, as to the teaching of this work, as if it were some great hidden mystery, and do not permit our simpler brethren, to have any sublime and lofty thoughts concerning the glorious and truly divine appearing of our Lord, and our resurrection from the dead, and our being gathered together unto him, and made like him, but on the contrary, leave them to hope for small and mortal things in the kingdom of God, and for things such as exist now. Since this is the case, it is necessary, that we should dispute with our brother Nepos, as if he were present. Farther on he says, 6. When I was in the district of Arsinoe, 7, where, as you know, This doctrine has prevailed for a long time, so that schisms and apostasies of entire churches have resulted. I called together the presbyters and teachers of the brethren in the villages, such brethren as wished being also present, and I exhorted them to make a public examination of this question. 7. Accordingly, when they brought me this book, as if it were a weapon and fortress impregnable, sitting with them from morning till evening for 3 successive days, I endeavored to correct what was written in it. 8. And I rejoiced over the constancy, sincerity, docility, and intelligence of the brethren, as we considered in order, and with moderation the questions and the difficulties and the points of agreement. And we abstained from defending in every manner and contentiously the opinions which we had once held, unless they appeared to be correct. Nor did we evade objections, but we endeavored as far as possible to hold to, and confirm the things which lay before us, and if the reason given satisfied us, we were not ashamed to change our opinions, and agree with others, but on the contrary, conscientiously and sincerely, and with hearts laid open before God, we accepted whatever was established by the proofs and teachings of the Holy Scriptures. 9. And finally, the author and mover of this teaching, who was called Creation, 8, in the hearing of all the brethren that were present, acknowledged and testified to us, that he would no longer hold this opinion, nor discuss it, nor mention nor teach it, as he was fully convinced by the arguments against it. And some of the other brethren expressed their gratification at the conference, and at the spirit of conciliation and harmony which all had manifested. Chapter 10.6 V. The Apocalypse of John. 1. 1. Afterward he speaks in this manner of the Apocalypse of John. Some before us have set aside, and rejected the book altogether, criticizing it chapter by chapter, and pronouncing it without sense or argument, and maintaining that the title is fraudulent. 2. For they say, that it is not the work of John, nor is it a revelation, because it is covered thickly and densely by a veil of obscurity. And they affirm that none of the apostles, and none of the saints, nor anyone in the church is its author, but that Cerinthus, who founded the sect which was called after him the Cerinthian, desiring reputable authority for his fiction, prefixed the name. 3. For the doctrine which he taught was this, that the kingdom of Christ will be an earthly one. And as he was himself devoted to the pleasures of the body and altogether sensual in his nature, he dreamed that that kingdom would consist in those things which he desired, namely, in the delights of the belly, and of sexual passion, that is to say, in eating and drinking and marrying, and in festivals and sacrifices and the slaying of victims, under the guise of which he thought he could indulge his appetites with a better grace. 2. 4. But I could not venture to reject the book, as many brethren hold it in high esteem. But I suppose, that it is beyond my comprehension, and that there is a certain concealed, and more wonderful meaning in every part. For if I do not understand, I suspect, that a deeper sense lies beneath the words. 5. I do not measure and judge them by my own reason, but leaving them more to faith I regard them as too high for me to grasp. And I do not reject what I cannot comprehend, but rather wonder, because I do not understand it. 6. After this he examines the entire book of Revelation, and having proved that it is impossible to understand it according to the literal sense, proceeds as follows. Having finished all the prophecy, so to speak, the prophet pronounces those blessed who shall observe it, and also himself. For he says, "Blessed is he that keepeth the words of the prophecy of this book, and I, John, who saw and heard these things." 3. 7. Therefore that he was called John, and that this book is the work of one John, I do not deny. And I agree also, that it is the work of a holy and inspired man. But I cannot readily admit, that he was the apostle, the son of Zebedee, the brother of James, by whom the Gospel of John and the Catholic Epistle 4, were written. 8. For I judge from the character of both, and the forms of expression, and the entire execution of the book, 5, that it is not his. For the evangelist nowhere gives his name, or proclaims himself, either in the Gospel or 9 Epistle. Farther on he adds, 9. But John never speaks, as if referring to himself, or as if referring to another person. 6. But the author of the Apocalypse introduces himself at the very beginning the revelation of Jesus Christ, which he gave him to show unto his servants quickly, and he sent, and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bear witness of the word of God, and of his testimony, even of all things that he saw. 7. 10. Then he writes also in Epistle John to the 7 churches, which are in Asia, "Grace be with you," and peace. 8. But the evangelist did not prefix his name even to the Catholic Epistle, but without introduction he begins with the mystery of the divine revelation itself, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes. 9. For because of such a revelation the Lord also blessed Peter, saying, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my heavenly Father." 10, 11. But neither in the reputed second or third epistle of John, though they are very short, does the name John appear, but there is written the anonymous phrase, "the iter 11, but this author did not consider it sufficient to give his name once, and to proceed with his work, but he takes it up again. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom, and in the patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle, that is called Patmos for the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. 12, and toward the close he speaks thus: Blessed is he that keepeth the words of the prophecy of this book, and I, John, who saw and heard these things. 13. 12. But that he who wrote these things was called John must be believed, as he says it, but who he was does not appear, for he did not say, as often in the gospel, that he was the beloved disciple of the Lord. 14. Or the one who lay on his breast. 15. Or the brother of James, or the eyewitness and hearer of the Lord. 13. For he would have spoken of these things, if he had wished to show himself plainly, but he says none of them, but speaks of himself as our brother and companion, and a witness of Jesus, and blessed because he had seen, and heard the revelations. 14. But I'm of the opinion, that there were many with the same name as the Apostle John, who, on account of their love for him, and because they admired and emulated him, and desired to be loved by the Lord as he was, took to themselves the same surname, as many of the children of the faithful are called Paul or Peter. 15. For example, there is also another John, surnamed Mark, mentioned in the Acts of the Apostles. 16. Whom Barnabas and Paul took with them, of whom also it is said, and they had also John as their attendant. 17. But that it is he who wrote this, I would not say, for it not written, that he went with them into Asia. But, now when Paul and his company set sail from Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia, and John departing from them returned to Jerusalem. 18. 16. But I think, that he was some other one of those in Asia, as they say, that there are two monuments in Ephesus, each bearing the name of John. 19. 17. And from the ideas, and from the words and their arrangement, it may be reasonably conjectured, that this one is different from that one. 20. 18. For the gospel and epistle agree with each other, and begin in the same manner. The one says, in the beginning was the word. 21. The other, that which was from the beginning. 22. The one and the word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory is of the only begotten of the Father. 23. The other says the same thing slightly altered, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life, and the life was manifested. 24. 19. For he introduces these things at the beginning, maintaining them, as is evident from what follows, in opposition to those who said, that the Lord had not come in the flesh. Wherefore also he carefully adds, and we have seen and bear witness, and declare unto you the eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen, and heard declare we unto you also. 25. 20. He holds to this, and does not digress from his subject, but discusses everything under the same heads, and names some of which we will briefly mention. 21. Anyone who examines carefully will find the phrases, the life, the light, turning from darkness, frequently occurring in both also continually, truth, grace, joy, the flesh and blood of the Lord, the judgment, the forgiveness of sins, the love of God toward us, the commandment that we love one another, that we should keep all the commandments, the conviction of the world, of the devil, of Antichrist, the promise of the Holy Spirit, the adoption of God, the faith continually required of us, the Father and the Son, occur everywhere. In fact, it is plainly to be seen, that one and the same character marks the Gospel and the Epistle throughout. 22. But the Apocalypse is different from these writings and foreign to them, not touching, nor in the least bordering upon them, almost, so to speak, without even a syllable in common with them. 23. Nay more, the Epistle, for I pass by the Gospel, does not mention, nor does it contain any intimation of the Apocalypse, nor does the Apocalypse of the Epistle. But Paul, in his Epistles, gives some indication of his revelations. 26. Though he has not written them out by themselves. 24. Moreover, it can also be shown that the diction of the Gospel and Epistle differs from that of the Apocalypse. 25. For they were written not only without error as regards the Greek language, but also with elegance in their expression, in their reasonings, and in their entire structure. They are far indeed from betraying any barbarism or solecism, or any vulgarism whatever. For the writer had, as it seems, both the requisites of discourse, that is, the gift of knowledge and the gift of expression, as the Lord had bestowed them both upon him. 26. I do not deny, that the other writer saw revelation, and received knowledge and prophecy. I perceive, however, that his dialect and language are not accurate Greek, but that he uses barbarous idioms, and, in some places, solecisms. 27. It is unnecessary to point these out here, for I would not have anyone think that I have said these things in a spirit of ridicule, for I have said what I have only with the purpose of showing dearly the difference between the writings. Chapter 10.6 VI. The Epistles of Dionysius. 1. Besides these, many other epistles of Dionysius are extant, as those against Sabellius. 1. Addressed to Ammon. 2. bishop of the Church of Bernus, and one to Telesphorus, 8, and one to Euphronor, and again another to Ammonian Eupurus. He wrote also four other books on the same subject, which he addressed to his namesake Dionysius, in Rome, 4, 2. Besides these, many of his epistles are with us, and large books written in epistolary form, as those on nature, 5, addressed to the young man Timothy, and one on temptations, 6, which he also dedicated to Euphronor. 3. Moreover, in a letter to Basilides, 7, bishop of the parishes in Pentapolis, he says that he had written an exposition of the beginning of Ecclesiastes. 8, and he has left us also various letters addressed to this same person. Thus much Dionysius. But our account of these matters being now completed, permit us to show to posterity the character of our own age. 9. Chapter 27. Paul of Samosata, and the heresy introduced by Hint at Antioch. 1. After Xistus had presided over the Church of Rome for 11 years, 1. Dionysius, 2. Namesake of him of Alexandria, succeeded him. About the same time Demetrianus, 3. died in Antioch, and Paul of Samosata, 4. received that episcopate. 2. As he held, contrary to 2. the teaching of the Church, low and degraded views of Christ, namely, that in his nature he was a common man, Dionysius of Alexandria was entreated to come to the Synod. 5. But being unable to come on account of age and physical weakness, he gave his opinion on the subject under consideration by letter. 6. But all the other pastors of the churches from all directions made haste to assemble at Antioch, as against the spoiler of the flock of Christ. Chapter 28. The illustrious bishops of that time. 1. Of these, the most eminent were Firmilianus, 1, bishop of Caesarea in Cappadocia, the brothers Gregory, 2, and Athenodorus, pastors of the churches in Pontus Helenus, 3, of the parish of Tarsus, and Nicomus, 4, of Iconium, moreover, Hymenaeus, 5, of the church of Jerusalem, and Theotectus, 6, of the neighboring church of Caesarea, and besides these Maximus, 7, who presided in a distinguished manner over the brethren in Bostra. If any should count them up, he could not fail to note a great many others, besides presbyters and deacons, who were at that time assembled for the same cause in the above-mentioned city. 8. But these were the most illustrious. 2. When all of these assembled at different times and frequently to consider these matters, the arguments and questions were discussed at every meeting. The adherents of the Samosatian endeavoring to cover and conceal his heterodoxy, and the others striving zealously to lay bare and make manifest his heresy and blasphemy against Christ. 3. Meanwhile, Dionysius died in the 12th year of the reign of Galenus, 9, having held the episcopate of Alexandria for 17 years, and Maximus, 10, succeeded him. 4. Galenus, after a reign of 15 years, and was succeeded by Claudius, 12, who in 2 years delivered the government to an Aurelian. Chapter 10.6. Paul, having been refuted by Malchin, a presbyter from the Sophists, was excommunicated. 1. During his reign a final synod 1, composed of a great many bishops, was held, and the leader of heresy 2, in Antioch was detected, and his false doctrine clearly shown before all, and he was excommunicated from the Catholic Church under heaven. 3. 2. Malchin especially drew him out of his hiding place and refuted him. He was a man learned in other respects, and principal of the Sophist school of Grecian learning in Antioch, yet on account of the superior nobility of his faith in Christ he had been made a presbyter of that parish. This man, having conducted a discussion with him, which was taken down by stenographers, and which we know is still extant, was alone able to detect the man who dissembled and deceived the others. Chapter 10.6. The Epistle of the Bishops Against Paul. 1. The pastors who had assembled about this matter, prepared by common consent an epistle addressed to Dionysius, 1, bishop of Rome, and Maximus, 2, of Alexandria, and sent it to all the provinces. In this they make manifest to all their own zeal and the perverse error of Paul, and the arguments and discussions which they had with him, and show the entire life and conduct of the man. It may be well to put on record at the present time the following extracts from their writing. 2. To Dionysius and Maximus, and to all our fellow ministers throughout the world, bishops, presbyters, and deacons, and to the whole Catholic Church under heaven. 3. Helenus, 4. Hymenaeus, Theophilus, Theotechnus, Maximus, Proclus, Nicomus, Elianus, Paul, Paulinus, Protogenes, Hierax, Eutychius, Theodorus, 5, Malchin, and Lucius, and all the others who dwell with us in the neighboring cities and nations. Bishops, presbyters, and deacons, and the churches of God, greeting to the beloved brethren in the Lord. 3. A little farther on they proceed thus: We sent 4, and called many of the bishops from a distance, to relieve us from this deadly doctrine, as Dionysius of Alexandria, 6, and Firmilianus, 7, of Cappadocia, those blessed men. The first of these, not considering the author of this delusion worthy to be addressed, sent a letter to Antioch, 6, not written to him, but to the entire parish, of which we give a copy below. 4. But Firmilianus came twice 9, and condemned his innovations, as we who were present know and testify, and many others understand. But as he promised to change his opinions, he believed him, and hoped that without any reproach to the word, what was necessary would be done. So he delayed the matter, being deceived by him who denied even his own God and Lord. 10. And had not kept the faith which he formerly held. 5. And knew now Firmilianus was again on his way to Antioch, and had come as far as Tarsus, because he had learned by experience his God denying wickedness. But while we, having come together, were calling for him, and awaiting his arrival, he died. 11. 6. After other things they describe as follows the manner of life which he 12. Led, whereas he has departed from the rule of faith. 12a, and has turned aside after base and spurious teachings. It is not necessary, since he is without, that we should pass judgment upon his practices. 7. As for instance in that, although formerly destitute and poor, and having received no wealth from his fathers, nor made anything by trade or business, he now possesses abundant wealth through his iniquities and sacrilegious acts, and through those things, which he extorts from the brethren. 13. Depriving the injured of their rights, and promising to assist them for reward, yet deceiving them, and plundering those who in their trouble are ready to give, that they may obtain reconciliation with their oppressors, supposing that gain is godliness. 14. 8. Or in that he is haughty, and is puffed up, and assumes worldly dignities, preferring to be called Ducenarius. 15. Rather than bishop and struts in the marketplaces, reading letters and reciting them as he walks in public, attended by a bodyguard, with a multitude preceding and following him, so that the faith is envied and hated on account of his pride and haughtiness of heart. 9. Or in that he practices chicanery in ecclesiastical assemblies, contrives to glorify himself, and deceive with appearances, and astonish the minds of the simple, preparing for himself a tribunal and lofty throne. 16. Not like a disciple of Christ, and possessing a secretum. 17. Like the rulers of the world, and so calling it, and striking his thigh with his hand, and stamping on the tribunal with his feet. Or in that he rebukes and insults those who do not applaud, and shake their handkerchiefs as in the theaters, and shout and leap about like the men and women that are stationed around him, and hear him in this unbecoming manner, but who listen reverently and orderly as in the house of God. Or in that he violently and coarsely assails in public the expounders of the word that have departed this life, and magnifies himself, not as a bishop, but as a sophist and juggler. 10. And stops the Psalms to our Lord Jesus Christ, as being the modern productions of modern men, and trains women to sing psalms to himself in the midst of the church on the great day of the Passover, which anyone might shudder to hear, and persuades the bishops and presbyters of the neighboring districts and cities who fawn upon him, to advance the same ideas in their discourses to the people. 11. For to anticipate something of what we shall presently write, he is unwilling to acknowledge that the Son of God has come down from heaven. And this is not a mere assertion, but it is abundantly proved from the records which we have sent you, and not least where he says Jesus Christ is from below. 18. But those singing to him, and extolling him among the people, say that their impious teacher has come down an angel from heaven. 19. And he does not forbid such things, but the arrogant man is even present when they are uttered. 12. And there are the women, the subintroducti, 19a, as the people of Antioch call them, belonging to him, and to the presbyters and deacons that are with him. Although he knows, and has convicted these men, yet he connives at this, and their other incurable sins, in order that they may be bound to him, and through fear for themselves may not dare to accuse him for his wicked words and deeds. 20. But he has also made them rich, on which account he is loved and admired by those who covet such things. 13. We know, beloved, that the bishop and all the clergy should be an example to the people of all good works, and we are not ignorant how many have fallen or incurred suspicion through the women whom they have thus brought in. So that even if we should allow that he commits no sinful act, yet he ought to avoid the suspicion which arises from such a thing, lest he scandalize someone, or lead others to imitate him. 14. For how can he reprove or admonish another not to be too familiar with women, lest he fall, as it is written, 21, when he has himself sent one away already, and now has two with him, blooming and beautiful, and takes them with him wherever he goes, and at the same time lives in luxury and surfeiting. 15. Because of these things all mourn and lament by themselves, but they so fear his tyranny and power that they dare not accuse him. 16. But as we have said, while one might call the man to account for this conduct, if he held the Catholic doctrine and was numbered with us. 28. Since he has scorned the mystery and struts about in the abominable heresy of Artemis. 23. For why should we not mention his father? We think it unnecessary to demand of him an explanation of these things. 17. Afterwards, at the close of the epistle, they add these words: therefore we have been compelled to excommunicate him, since he sets himself against God, and refuses to obey, and to appoint in his place another bishop for the Catholic Church by divine direction, as we believe, We have appointed Domnus, 24, who is adorned with all the qualities becoming in a bishop, and who is a son of the blessed Demetrinus, 25, who formerly presided in a distinguished manner over the same parish. We have informed you of this, that you may write to him, and may receive letters of communion 26, from him. But let this man write to Artemis, and let those who think as Artemis does, communicate with him, 27. 18. As Paul had fallen from the episcopate, as well as from the Orthodox faith, Domnus, as has been said, became bishop of the church at Antioch. 19. But as Paul refused to surrender the church building, the emperor Aurelian was petitioned, and he decided the matter most equitably, ordering the building to be given to those to whom the bishops of Italy, and of the city of Rome should adjudge it.